It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
Okay, Jim, are you ready to hear what today's episode is about?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, have you ever noticed, like, for the elder generation that sometimes they have, like, kind of a smell?
No, never noticed that. It's, like, so rude of you to say that.
Stop.
Just kidding. Yes, yes, I have. I have 100% noticed that, and you have too, okay?
Yeah, so don't pretend like you haven't. Lots of people have noticed it, and it's a very common question that's asked online, but I don't know 100% if the answers that we get online are true. And so today, we're going to dive in. There's drama. There's intrigue. There's scientists being snooty, and I can't wait for it.
Are you telling me that there's people on the internet that are giving information with so much confidence?
Yes.
Behind it, but that they're actually wrong?
I'm not sure if they're wrong, actually, but they might not be right.
They can't all be right, right?
They can't all be right. That's okay. True.
All right.
Maybe they could. I don't know. I guess you'll have to listen to the rest of this episode to find out.
Okay. Let's do it.
Hey, I'm Melissa.
I'm Jim.
And I'm a chemist.
And I'm not.
And welcome to Chemistry for Your Life.
The podcast helps you understand the chemistry of your everyday life.
Okay, and before we even get started, we are going to shout out our brand new community patron. Her name, I'm assuming, I guess, is, we don't know how to say it.
Right.
Could be.
So you know who you are.
So I just sent this person a message and said, I just realized I don't know how to pronounce your name. Is it Ciara or Sierra or a third name, like a third pronunciation right. That I didn't even think of?
Yeah, it's just spelled a little different. So we want to make sure to get it right. But definitely either way,
right.
However you say your name, we are so glad you are part of our Chem community of patrons.
And sorry, I didn't remember to send that email ahead of time to double check with you. But thanks for joining. We're so excited. And this episode is dedicated to you, not because you're an old person or because you smell. We don't know either of those things, but because you just joined. And so thanks.
Yes. Thanks for keeping the show going. Thanks for supporting us. We're glad to get to know you and be part of our community. And yeah, thanks for helping chemistry be able to be shared with more people.
Yeah. Okay, and here's the other thing that I don't know. We're just starting this off with a bunch of I don't knows. I don't know who suggested this episode to me recently. I remember telling listener and friend of us in real life and friend of the show, Ryan B., about this episode idea recently, but I don't know who first mentioned it to me.
Yeah.
And so then I went and looked at my text messages to like see if it was one of my friends. And I found a text message from none other than my spouse 2 years ago, almost to the day. It was May 11th, 2022. And he sent me a Reddit article and said, here's an idea for Chemistry for Your Life. And it was about this topic.
Ah, interesting. So it's Mason who's the one talking about old people's smell, huh?
It was at some point.
Wow.
But that's not who brought it up recently. And I'm sorry that I forgot.
Well, it's kind of funny because maybe it's better because whoever it is that suggested it for the first time, there is a little bit of it coming across like us crediting them with asking the question is also sort of like throwing them under the bus a little. Yeah,
but Mason's was just a Reddit article, you know?
Yes.
Okay, so if it was you, feel free to reach out. But so here, I'm going to start with a little bit of a reminder of something that we've already talked about before in our mosquito series, which is, there are volatile organic compounds on our skin. And what I mean by volatile organic compounds is organic compounds or organic molecules are carbon-based molecules. So if they're carbon-containing, especially if carbon is a predominant one, we would call that an organic molecule. And then volatile molecules are easily turned into gas so that they can go to the olfactory.
Yes, the olfactory.
And so then we can smell them and sense them.
Man, it's been too long since we talked about that olfactory.
Well, guess what? That episode is going to come out as a re-release next week. So if you don't know what we're talking about, next week we're going to put out an episode about why bad things smell bad.
Okay.
So that awesome. Science lesson will be, we'll revisit it next week. We're not going to talk about it today.
Okay. I love that episode, by the way.
So there are volatile organic compounds on our skin, and they are what is mostly responsible for our smell. And I think what's interesting is sometimes we don't even always know. Like we've talked about with the mosquito episode, maybe there might be more eucalyptol on some than others, but it's not like we'd be able to say this person smells like they're attractive to mosquitoes and this person smells like they're not, you know? So they're not always noticeable smells. So there are a number of questions, which is there really an old person smell? And is that old person smell, do we know what causes it?
I see. Okay.
Okay. So if you search the internet and type in, you know, what makes old people smell, you will get some variation of the same answer, which isn't a terrible answer. It does have a peer-reviewed journal article cited that there is an oil that breaks down on our skin, or there you'll get some version of this. There's fatty acids on our skin that break down into 2-nonenol or nonenol.
Okay.
Which, that's an organic chemistry name. It basically means non is for 9 carbons.
Okay.
Ene is for, there's a double bond in there somewhere.
Okay.
And A-L, the al at the end, means that there is a certain functional group, which we've talked about functional groups before.
Yes, yes.
It's just an arrangement of atoms that they kind of show up in this functional group. They show up in this particular arrangement often enough that we gave it a name, and we can kind of anticipate the behavior of that group of atoms.
Got it.
And so this one we've talked about before is an aldehyde.
I was going to guess that just with the AL sound and remembering that as one we've talked about.
Wow. So but you could have, if you could remember that functional group, you could have done, gotten an answer right on your first OChem exam.
Man.
If only you took that class.
If only I had.
If only.
Yeah, I was doing the non-major one, which is that just chemistry?
That's just general chemistry.
Yeah.
So you never even came close to that.
Man.
Okay, so it's a 9 carbon, it has an aldehyde, and it has a double bond. That doesn't super matter unless you're just really curious, mm-hmm. but. So there is that people will say that there is that present in higher amounts on older people's skins. And then they'll often like talk about why that's there or ways to get rid of it, which I also have some questions about, but that is the most common answer online. But okay. You know me, I was like, I need to see this journal article that they're citing. So I went to that one. So let's talk about it.
Okay.
This was done by a Japanese research group, and I actually think the setup is pretty interesting. What they did was they had people of a variety of different ages. It was a pretty small group of people, I think. I didn't write notes about that, but I think it was not a huge sample size, but there's people of a variety of different ages, and they had a clean shirt that they like detailed how they cleaned the shirt so that it didn't have any smell. For all the different people, and they slept in it every day for 5 days. But then they weren't supposed to wear any fragrant shampoos and all of that, or soaps or anything like that. So they slept in it for 5 days. During the day, it was sealed in a bag.
Okay.
In like a, I imagine like a Ziploc bag. It was an airtight bag. And then they took that and they collected not only the what they call headspace, so like if you put, you know, a piece of that shirt into like a jar or something, what off gases from it kind of is a way to think of it.
Okay.
And they also had like oil collecting pads in the shirt, so they were able to take not only the organic molecules, the smells in the shirt, but also they took the oils off the skin.
Okay.
Okay. And when they took those samples, they found two main findings, which one is there was a higher number of omega-7 fatty acids. So the specific type of fatty acid, was found in a higher amount on people over 40, is what they grouped as older, than people younger than 40. Mm. Or 40 and up versus younger than 40.
Okay.
So the older group had a higher amount of this fatty acid, and yes, they did also have a higher amount of this 2-nonenol. So they had that, not okay. Now, just to be very clear, of the compound I mentioned in the beginning, this aldehyde. And they did find that in the presence of oxygen, when this fatty acid breaks down, they could reproduce the result of producing that aldehyde. So the theory is, for whatever reason, we have more of this fatty acid as we get older. There was a bunch of people theorizing that I didn't see in the paper about, like, oh, our antioxidants, blah, blah, blah. I didn't see that in the paper, so I'm not going to theorize about that. But essentially, we have more of this fatty acid, and it breaks down into this this thing that has a smell.
Okay.
I think I might have put the date down for that wrong, but I think that was in 2008.
Okay,
but then... Maybe I have all these dates wrong. Now I'm second guessing them. Anyway, okay. But then later, after this, someone in the U.S. tried to do something similar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, this article, I'm going to tell you the findings, but I have some questions about this.
Okay.
Okay. So someone in the U.S. tried to do something similar. They didn't have people wear shirts.
Mm-hmm.
They did a sampling technique where they took samples from people's forearms and their upper back. They had like a glass funnel where I imagined almost sucking the air off of the people.
Okay.
But that meant that it was just a one-time sample.
Right.
It's not like simulating the conditions of sleeping in your house, which, you know, that's more, I think, like real life.
Prolonged contact with something and
that could be more like why, you know, your house smells a certain way if we're talking about walking into an older person's house. But it could also then have like some contaminants if they're sleeping in it in their house, which is kind of what I assume.
Right.
So hard to say which one's better. So this separate study where they just did a one-time sample, they very specifically called out the original study from the Japanese research group and said he found none of the 2-nonenol in any samples. But they did find three compounds that were present, more present with increased age. They did like a similar number of people, and they grouped the ages the same way, above 40, 40 and above, and then 39 and under being, you know, old versus young. And they found three molecules that were present with increased age. They call them biomarkers of increased age. They don't super matter. The two of them don't. One's dimethyl sulfone and one's benzothiazole. That doesn't matter. The one that's interesting to me is non-nanol. He's like, we didn't find any non-enol. And non-enol, let's remember, this is 9 carbons, a functional group of an aldehyde, and a double bond. Non-nanol is 9 carbons, a functional group of an aldehyde, and no double bonds. And that's the only difference.
This is like that SNL sketch where the whole family's name is Nooney. And he's like, oh, hi, Nooney. And he's like, no, that is Nooney. I am Nooney. it sounds the same to this guy. He's like, okay, that's what I was trying to say. Hi, Nooney. And he goes, no. That over there is Nooney. I am Nooney.
So is that how you feel right now? The non-nanol with non-enol?
Yeah, just a little bit. So non-nanol.
Yes.
And non-enol.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And so, okay, so that finding just by itself is interesting. So he found something similar enough that older people over a certain age do have different biomarkers, different volatile organic compounds on their skin, right? But different ones. But I'm like, very similar. I'm like, the difference between non-enol and non-enol is one double bond. And yes, yeah, that can make a big difference. But the fact that it's like 9 carbons and of all the things that could be present on your skin being biomarkers for older age, like that is kind of, I'm like, that's not just a coincidence.
Right.
So then, and in his article, he repeatedly talks about this other article. I'm like, do you have beef with this person? The way he presents is very odd to me. But it, so it kind of feels like a direct attack on the other one. And I was like, nice, scientist drama. So then I tried to pull up both of their work and see if like either of them have built on this.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Interesting. Well, if you looked at their work and you found like, wait a second, they were roommates back in their undergrad. And oh, I see their rival. So-and-so stole someone's work and he'll stop at nothing to tarnish the reputation of him.
That would be a more interesting story then. Right. And then there was nothing else. But I do have like kind of a little addition for you.
Okay. Okay.
So there is something I mentioned that the original lab was a Japanese lab. And so one of the things that this person theorizes is that in Japanese culture, there is a higher diet of marine food, seafood.
Yes.
And so maybe they have a higher incidence of these specific types of fatty acids. And so maybe this non-enol is more present in their skin. It's not generalizable to populations that don't have that as their primary diet.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I don't feel comfortable saying for either of these, one of these markers is for sure old people's smell.
Okay.
Now, aldehydes tend to have smells. I know non-enol has a smell. I don't know if non-enol has a smell. I don't know that I feel comfortable with the sample size that we have with two people disagreeing. That's concerning to me.
Mm-hmm.
But also, they were in different conditions, so I don't think that either their findings are wrong.
Right.
And what I would need to feel comfortable saying, like, oh, this is the smell of old people, is I would need a wider study with people with a variety of diets,
mm-hmm.
and I would need them to do both methods. Mm-hmm. I would need the shirt method that simulates real life and the immediate test, you know, and see what we find. But I'm not doing this kind of research anymore, so I can't.
Right.
I can't be the one that makes that happen. And it doesn't seem like anyone else is interested or getting paid to do it. So.
Right. Yeah, maybe they started to wonder, what will this actually tell us, even if we do prove it?
Maybe. Okay, but there is another thing that happened. And so a colleague of this study too, he works at like a, oh, I didn't write it down, but it seemed like a lab. It was a United States-based lab that was, or like a research center that was focused on senses and research around the senses. And both of these guys are prolific. I mean, tons of research, which is really cool to read. And I think we cited one of them before because one of them talked about how diseased bodies have different odors. So we've talked about that before, I think.
Right, right.
Anyway, so all that to say, there's another study, and this one I think is more interesting. This is more in my like human subjects research. They had a similar protocol where people wore these shirts for 5 days and then they gave these clothes. They're the smells of clothes. I don't remember exactly how they did it. And they had people try to discern. They rated them for if they were pleasant or unpleasant, you know, how strong like the intensity was. And then they also tried to like have them say if they thought it was, you know, older or younger. And younger people and older people's smells were less intense, which is surprising because when I think of like,
so you're saying younger and older were less intense?
Oh, sorry, I forgot this important detail. They broke it into young, middle-aged, and older. So the older people, like 75 to 95, the middle-aged, I think it was like 30s and 40s, and then there was just like younger. I think probably like they'd probably have to be around 18, probably. I'd have to make sure. So the middle-aged males were the most intense and smelled the worst.
Wow.
Sorry. I think technically you fall into that category. You're close.
Yeah.
You're not there already.
I mean, I kind of just feel like, man, guys, like we probably could have done better on this. Like,
probably.
Really, next time, okay?
And so older people's smell was not considered offensive, and it was also not as intense. Mm. Now, the question was, is there a statistical ability, like can people in a way that is statistically meaningful really tell old people's smell versus young people's smell?
And could they?
So I want to make sure that I'm clear on these statistics. A lot of what statistics are testing you is this statistically higher than a random chance?
Right.
So
right.
You would expect if you're given a young and an old and there was not really a difference, you would get roughly 50-50. Not exactly right. That, but roughly 50-50 distribution of people guessing older versus younger.
Or right? Maybe as high as like 53 to 47 or something like that, where it could be like, there's a range where it might be
there's
like.
There's like a range. I don't know exactly what the range is.
Yeah, where it's not like, it wouldn't be significant enough to be like, for sure, yes. Or whatever.
But there is, outside of this, there is a point at which you can say this is statistically very unlikely to be random chance.
Got it.
That there is a noticeable something and people are ranking in such a way that reflects that.
Yeah. Okay.
And there is statistically significant results for people telling the difference between old people and not old people.
We did it.
So there is an old people smell that is discernible.
So we've proven that people can tell that.
People can tell that. And we've proven also in two different, very different settings that there seem to be some
higher amounts of certain things, certain oils, certain stuff. And, but not necessarily is that what's proven to be the smell.
We don't know for sure what the smell is.
Right. But there is a smell. People can tell it. Mm-hmm. And there also are higher amounts of certain things.
Yes. And some of those things are known already to smell.
Wow. Sounds like we cracked the code to me.
I mean, we know a lot. We don't know what the molecules are for sure. But so my big takeaways are, yes, with aging, our smell change, which isn't that weird because it's like when you go through puberty, your smell changes.
Right.
So it's not that weird to think that then when you like go through menopause or as you're aging and your body is changing as you get older, that your smell would change again.
Right.
That's not that surprising for me. Yeah. And since as a collective culture, we all notice some of that smell.
Right.
But then the question is, why do, when I think of old people smell, I don't love that. But in a vacuum, in a scientific setting, it was not considered offensive.
Right.
And so one of these researchers theorized that perhaps a lot of it is the context, like smelling, what example did he give? I don't remember. He said like smelling manure or something, you know, inside isn't good, but if you're in a barn a lot of times,
right,
it doesn't have that same scent. I don't remember what he said. I feel like he might have said methane, but didn't we just talk about how methane doesn't really have a smell?
Right. Yeah, we did.
Anyway, so he theorized it could be the context. You know, like if you're walking into a place where, you know,
a restaurant,
you don't. That's a different vibe. You don't want to smell that there.
Yeah. Like if you're talking with manure again or whatever, something like that, it's like, I'd be like, okay,
this is not what I want to smell. Something's here. Wrong. So you can consider it more offensive. The other thing, I don't remember if there was like a New York Times article interviewing some of these researchers. And then there was like the articles themselves. The other thing someone mentioned was if someone's health is bad, we know it's shown that disease changes the way that your body smells. So could it be that it's not just like healthy adults, older adults that have this smell? Instead, it's more like we associate, actually, it's like sick older adults have a smell and that's the one we don't like, you know, or something. Yeah. So there's a lot of still questions in my mind about like what that could be. I think there's a lot of variables that we're not accounting for. And then another person said, and I don't remember seeing this in the research. This was definitely in the article, but if they gave it to, they had people rate if it was offensive or not versus if they knew it was associated with older people versus if they didn't. And if they did, then they would rate it as offensive. But otherwise, it's like just kind of a neutral smell.
Right.
So there is, in my opinion, there is still a lot of humanness in the smells themselves and the way we interpret the smells that leave a lot of questions about these smells.
Right. Yes.
What are your thoughts?
It's very interesting, especially I would love to have been in this study as a, one of the smellers, because if you were just to ask me if I thought there was a difference in smell based on age, I would say yes, I think so. But as we've been talking, I was thinking about trying to sort of, you know, how you can kind of conjure a scent in your mind. Think about trying to do that for the smells of like my grandparents or something like that.
Yeah.
Old people that I was around quite a bit. Honestly, what the first thing that came to mind to me was actually when they were sick. And not just sick, but specifically in a hospital or nursing home or something like that. Which changes a lot of things, because you're smelling when there's a lot of people in there, sick with all kinds of things. And there's like a hospital-y smell in general.
Yeah.
The mixture of like the people, but also like the things they used to clean stuff. Yes. Yeah. And just stuff like that that is unique to a hospital that, you know, I don't think anyone really likes that smell, but it's also not offensive either. It's not like, you know, bring a clothespin with you to pinch your nose when you go to the hospital.
Right.
It just isn't great. But also it's because partly because I had grandparents in the hospital that were sick, and it's not fun being at the hospital when your grandparents sick and you wish they weren't.
Do you just associate that with something negative?
Right. So I'm not really sure. I would wonder if I was being given a t-shirt to smell or whatever that experiment was. I wonder if I'll be able to tell, if I'd be one of the people who could tell that there's a difference in smell. If it's more like just the smell of a person who's older, separate from like the hospital sickness, stuff like that. I wonder if I could even pick up on it. I don't know.
So, and the study, the second one that they did where it wasn't like wearing the shirt for several days, they did find things that that weren't naturally occurring in our skin, like cinnamaldehyde, that were very likely in consumer products, even though they're instructed not to use them because we use them so prolifically.
Yeah.
And so I think that's another element too, that I'm like, a smell that I think of is like old lady perfume. Sorry, that sounds disrespectful. A lot of older women I've noticed have perfume that smells very strong.
Yeah.
But also, as our smell declines, is that just like they're using more?
Right. Than,
because they can't quite smell it. Or
right.
Are there smells associated that generation thinks smells really good that, you know, we maybe, our generation doesn't. They're like, they smell out of style, kind of.
Yeah. What's in style has changed both.
Right.
Visually, but also scent wise or something. Yeah.
And if it is the result of oils that are breaking down on your skin, the more that you are showering and the better hygiene that you have, then you'd be able to disperse some of those oils. Whereas I think a lot of times in nursing homes and hospitals, if you have mobility issues, it's much harder to get a full wash as frequently. Like I could shower every day and not even think about it. But when my mom was in the hospital and she'd broken her hip and, you know, all these things, it was like showering is not an option. So what are our options? Sponge baths, sitting in there maybe, but you need assistance. You know, there's all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And so I just think that while it does appear that there is an old people smell, I think maybe the offensive smell that we associate sometimes with elderly people might not be this smell.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's one of my major takeaways.
Interesting.
I do have a fun fact that I can share with you if you want. But the hard part is usually I give you a fun fact for sharing the chemistry lesson back, but there's not really a chemistry lesson in this one. That's like I mean, obviously there's a chemistry lesson, but not like a new thing you learned, because you'd already learned about functional groups and volatile organic compounds.
And I had to kind of repeat back some of the study stuff earlier to make sure I was tracking anyway. Right.
Yes.
So how about this? Can I have the fun fact for free?
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
Okay. All right.
So a thing that I found a lot of online when I was searching this is this idea that, okay, though this is our old people smell, you know, and if you want to combat it, you need persimmon soap specifically. And I and another chemist online that I saw on there and a dermatologist, so not like official sources, but other people that claim to be experts to some level online, said it doesn't, and this is what I was thinking too, which is why I went to look it up. Why do we need persimmon soap? People say, oh, because this oil is not water soluble. So we need this specific kind of soap that will dissolve this oil and this compound. Okay. What are you thinking right now?
I mean, all soap, like we talked about, at its basic level, has the ability to interact with non-polar things, which would be oil.
Yep.
And polar things, which is water, because it has both parts in it.
Yes. And if you're not sure what that means, go listen to our very first episode ever.
And forgive us for how different we sound, how little, young, new we were, but it's a good episode.
It is a good episode. Okay, so exactly. So in my mind, I don't know why this soap would be any different. Now, there may be something that we don't know about that, oh, this persimmon has this specific compound that does react really well with maybe specifically the aldehyde. And so maybe there's something in that scent combo that is really positive. And anecdotally, I have heard, you know, there was people that were giving things about like, oh, on Reddit, where they don't really have anything to gain, where I tried all these different soaps for my mom and none of them took care of it, like this one soap. So I don't know.
Right.
But I cannot think of a chemical reason why you'd need that soap to eliminate this odor.
Right.
Unless maybe the odor that we're talking about is not the same as the odor that's being combated by this persimmon soap. Maybe that's a result of some kind of disease or some health disorder that we don't know about. Or maybe, you know, I don't know. But I can't find a good chemical reason to justify it. But that doesn't mean that, you know, it doesn't work. I don't know. Try it out. If you're around somebody with old people smell and nothing, no soap and regular showering is working, maybe try it. I don't know.
But there's not,
I can't find any. I cannot logic my way into understanding that piece of it.
Yeah. This is one of the things that's so frustrating, where it's like, I'm like, okay, did somebody, did it start out where someone picked a soap off the shelf, thinking that looks pretty good, trying it, later being like, you know what? I feel like I smell different. Or someone else being like, hey, you don't smell. Like, where did this come from?
I think the company marketed it for that.
Oh, interesting.
I think there's a company specifically that marketed it.
Well, never mind then. You know, we can trust companies and they have our interests at heart and they aren't even motivated by money. So I think we can put this to rest and say, thanks, companies.
Yeah, thanks, companies. Anyway, so, and then part of me is like, maybe the companies are squashing their research because it goes against what they want people to believe. Who's to say? Because I could not find. I think that I'm mad because I wrote down the dates, but then I'm questioning them. But I think the most recent one I found was like in 2012, which seems like there would be more. But maybe just, you got to go where the money is in research. So maybe there's just no money.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe so.
So
it's just so funny when people pick something like specific like that where you think like, occasionally, unless they have a really good thing you're citing that explains it, it seems like if you pick something really specific like persimmon soap, I feel like you can almost, and they don't have any other details to give you, I feel like you can bank on like, nah, I don't think so.
Well, that's what's tricky is they're like, persimmon soap specifically fights the lipids that break down into this aldehyde, and that's what makes people smell bad, and I have scientific proof, you know? And I'm like, you do have scientific proof.
But don't.
One study.
Yes.
And it seems like it's the lipid in that study. But there's a breakdown between this. I mean, and the soap should treat the lipid.
Yeah.
But also so should every other soap. So that one is a really tricky one that I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like if you create the condition of the study to do what you want, then you can do it. So like, I pick a soap, I want to sell you. I test it in a way that I choose. And then I tell you what happened.
Well, they're even citing this, the research from the Japanese research group that's independent of that.
Interesting.
But they're just saying, but like our soap treats this lipid problem, but every soap treats the lipid
yeah,
problem.
Yeah, I was going to say, but did they compare it to just regular soap?
I don't know.
Because that seems like the kind of thing that if you are not motivated to sell a product in some way, you would test it against just the basicest soap you could find.
I didn't see that. I only saw individual testimonies. Yeah.
That's very interesting.
It is very interesting.
Well, cool. Wow. I loved that episode.
I thought it was so interesting. Yeah. So thanks for listening. But also we should do our, normally we do a happy thing, but I thought a fun way, one of the other podcasts I listen to does categories at the end and they have each host give a response to like these categories.
Okay.
And so I thought it'd be fun for instead of our category of happy things.
Okay.
But we did a category of what's your favorite smell?
Ooh, that's a very good question.
Or like top few smells.
Yeah. I just thought of one because it's so recent. I don't even know if I could put it in like my favorite smells, but it's one I really like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, I was making some curry and it called for ginger. And I love the smell of ginger. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could not get enough of it. I was just having a ball, making the curry, smelling the ginger, just getting little whiffs however often I wanted to.
Yeah.
And there's something about the smell of ginger that I'm like, I just don't like why, but I love it.
And ginger beer is really good.
Oh yeah. And that's probably why I have all these positive associations with the ginger ale, ginger beer,
kombucha.
Like kombucha.
A lot of time gingery.
Yep. And so that could be easily why, but it just smells good. And I already liked how those things smelled. Anyway. So that is one that just really came to my head. What about you?
Similar to that, one that immediately came to my head is we've been growing our garden and the rosemary and the basil and the lavender.
Ooh.
All the like fresh herbs that we put in there, they just smell so good. Like, I mean, I'll just smell, you know, like if I'm trimming them back or if I'm walking by them, I'll just like put my hand in there and smell, like get the smell wafted up.
Yeah.
It's just smell. They just, the herbs smell good.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a runner up?
Let me think. I mean,
I have two that I could think of.
But. I mean, coffee.
Oh, duh. I was like, what? You're saying like it's obvious. Yeah. You know what I like to do? You'll appreciate this because Jim and my husband roast coffee and they put it in jars. And then my chore is the dishes. So if there's ever an empty mason jar, I always know it's from the coffee and I open it and I breathe in because they like get these specific shape ones. But I do often, every time I'm like, is this going to be the one time something gross was in here?
But right.
No, so far, it's always been coffee and the empty jars. And ooh, it smells so good before I put it in the dishwasher.
Yeah, it was crazy how the smell hangs out in there for quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so funny.
And when Mason comes home after roasting coffee, he doesn't smell like coffee. He smells like roasting coffee.
Yeah. It's a very interesting thing. The smell of roasting coffee smells like toasting something. Like if you were to take any, like toast some peanuts or something like that, some sort of like seed or nut or something
like that. With like a coffee undertone.
Yeah. Very undertone. And then like later the coffee smells like coffee.
One time we were in here recording and Mason was roasting and he came in and like when he came in, both of us could smell the roasting smell immediately.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I do like how Mason smells. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
But I love fresh bread and tortilla smell.
Mm.
So like if I'm eating like a fresh tortilla, like if you go to a restaurant where they like, they have the tortilla press and they're like fresh in the tortillas, I'll like rip it off and smell it before I eat it because it smells so good.
Yeah.
In any bread. I love to smell bread before I eat it. If it, but some like school cafeteria bread kind of smells like sour milk and then I can't eat it.
Yeah.
So you got to go for the, like, if it has a really good fresh baked bread smell, that's a good runner up.
Another one I like is, and this isn't every kind, but it has to be like legit leather goods
smell
so good.
They do. Yes.
Yeah.
And walking into Home Depot.
Oh, yes.
I love that smell.
Yeah. There's just like, I've obviously owned various leather goods and smelled them. But then there's the leather craftsman in town.
Oh, walking into there.
Yes. Oh my gosh. You're just like, you're hit with it. Mm. It's like this wall of like wonderful leather smell that I love. I'm sure someone could explain what that is exactly. I'm sure it's a lot of the tanning stuff, but it also could be just like the conditioners used.
Yeah, who knows?
And a lot of those could be someone fairly simple.
Could be me. I could probably do a leather episode. I'm 99% sure someone's asked, but I haven't done it yet.
Yep.
Whoops. Libraries. Mm-hmm. Smell great.
Oh, yeah. Specifically, yeah, like the opening of an older book. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, man, that was really good.
Do you think it's like the glue that they use in the books or what?
I don't know, because it kind of smells like slightly like dusty, but not bad.
Yeah.
Yep. I think it's like the dusty paper, maybe a little bit of the ink. Ink has a smell.
Maybe, so. Yeah. Who knows?
But yeah, that's a really good smell. That's one of those. If you're under a certain age, you should go to a library and go smell an old book.
Yeah, just walk into the library and get that library smell.
Yep. I can see there being people who are young enough and maybe have not had to read an older book and might not know.
Or might not have even gone into the library, because you can get an e-library card and do all your librarying online.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Any other ones you can think of off the top of your head? Those are some of my top ones.
Let's see. Sharpies, gasoline. Oh,
those are controversial.
I'm just kidding. I wish I could have said more before I busted out laughing. This was too dumb to not. Like, I was like, glue, paint, Sharpies.
One weird one that I do like is pipe tobacco smell. Mm-hmm. I hate like cigarette smell, but my grandfather smoked a pipe. And so when we go to his house, I think it almost smells leathery. Like tobacco smell.
Some of those, I know what you mean. Yeah.
So I liked that smell, but tobacco's bad for you, so like don't do it.
Yeah.
He never smelled like old person. He smelled like pipe tobacco.
There you go. I also have that scene in, what was the Parent Trap? When they're, I think they're describing, because they swap places, you know, classic.
Yes. Are you doing the original?
No, Lindsay Lohan version.
Okay. She's making a memory.
They're telling each other about their families back home, right? And so they can know what to do and how to act and all that kind of stuff. So she's like, and grandfather, or whatever she calls her grandfather, always smells of peppermint and pipe tobacco. You know, that she's British, or she has a British accent.
Yeah.
And that phrase is always stuck in my mind. Peppermint and pipe tobacco. And it sounds like it'd be a great smell. It's like, there's a little bit of like some, I don't know what you call the pipe tobacco-y smell, but it's a little darker, a little
like vanilla, almost like a oaky or leathery.
Yes, kind of deeper kind of molasses-y, whatever kind of smell. And then you got this like brighter, pepperminty kind of thing. Like that phrase also just sounds good. The peppermint and pipe tobacco.
I think that might be a callback to the original.
Oh, I could see that.
One, maybe.
For sure.
In one of them, I watched both of them a lot growing up.
Mm-hmm.
She smells her grandfather and says, he's like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm making a memory. I'll always remember that you smelled like, and I think it might have been peppermint and pipe tobacco.
Yeah, I haven't seen the old one, but that exact scene is in the in the Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, where, I watched both of them.
Where once the other sister does go and is pretending, she goes and wants to smell. Because I think the plan is like, doesn't switch back later, right?
Yeah.
I think she's trying to soak it all in.
Yeah.
But I remember her saying that. Yep.
Cute. Mm-hmm. Okay, that was a fun category.
Yeah.
All right, well, fun. Thanks. Thanks for participating in my category. And also thanks for being excited about the smell of elderly people.
Well, thanks for teaching us, even though I think it's very rude that you came up with this idea all on your own. if you have a question or a thought or idea, something you think might be chemistry that you're curious about, especially when it's just a little less offensive, please.
Stop.
I'm just kidding.
Sorry to our elderly listeners. I think you smell good.
Me too. And also,
you smell a lot better than middle-aged men.
Yeah, exactly. Here I am representing the absolute worst smelling category. So I do not have any room to speak. Please reach out to us if you have an idea, question, whatever about chemistry. We'd love to hear it on our website, chemforyourlife.com. And we love hearing your questions. Might be in a Q&A episode, might be its own episode like this one. Maybe have a correction or something like that, something to add. We'd love to hear it. Please send those. If you'd like to help us keep our show going and contribute to cover the costs of making it, like Sierra, who joined our super cool community, you can join that super cool chem community of patrons at patreon.com/chemforyourlife. When you do that, you help keep the show going. You also get to enjoy certain perks and ways for us to say thank you. And you get to know us a little bit better. Get to hang out with us, chat with us in the chat. Stuff like that. Check it out, please. And if you're not able to do that, you can still help us by subscribing on your favorite podcast app, rating, writing, review on Apple Podcasts. Also by, and you can do that on Spotify now too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Also by subscribing to our YouTube channel. We are like dangerously close to 1K subscribers on there. So help us do that. That helps us to keep our show going and helps us to spread, share chemistry with even more people.
This episode of Chemistry for Your Life was created by me, Melissa Collini, and him, Jerem Robinson. Jerem Robinson is our producer, and this episode was made possible by our financial supporters over on Patreon, just like Jerem was talking about. It seriously is amazing to us that you want to contribute and make chemistry accessible to even more people. And if you want to join and get your name on this list, like Ciara or Sierra, we'll know for next time, go on over and feel free to join. So our supporters at Patreon are Ciara or Era, L, John T, Avishai B, Bree M, Brian K, Carol R, Chris and Claire S, Chelsea B, Derek L, Elizabeth P, Emerson W, Hunter R, Jacob T, Christina G, Katrina H, Latila S, Lynn S, Melissa P, Nicole C, Rachel R, Sarah M, Stephen B, Suzanne P, Timothy P, Venus R, Erica B, Cullen R, and Jeanette N. Thank you again for everything you do to make Chemistry for Your Life happen. And an extra special thanks to Bree, who often creates illustrations to go along with our episodes. And you can see those over on our YouTube channel.
And if you'd like to learn more about today's chemistry lesson, you can do that by looking at our show notes or in the description of the video.
Yay, chemistry.
Yay, chemistry.
Yay, smells.